With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Let me tell you how it will be. One for you, 19 for me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Beller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And the tax man himself, Pete Donaldson.
Tax man!
Gentlemen, good to have you with us. It's the Football Ramble.
Ah.
Jimbo.
Hello.
Good to see you. Bit of decorum there from Jim Campbell.
Pulling you right back down to earth.
And as he should.
As he should. Gentlemen.
Yeah, I thought you were going to croak for a while there, I felt, if I didn't step in. Indeed, yeah.
How have you been, Marcus?
Oh, I'm cracking, mate. You?
Marcus, to let you through the ramble curtain once again.
Which basically doesn't exist anymore.
Hang it's in tatters. It's like the old curtains you get at school. They're really long and really big on the big old French windows.
Carry on.
Marcus brought some chocolate.
He did.
So I just want to thank Marcus publicly on the podcast.
It was lovely. I've already eaten all of mine, like an absolute disgrace.
Like a legend.
I ate half mine because then I remembered it's got caffeine in it. I don't sleep recently. I've not been sleeping recently.
No.
Because of the things I've done.
Yeah, well, hopefully this will put you to sleep, as it will do most of the listeners. Perhaps David De Gea was recorded throwing an item of shopping into his trolley when he was out doing a big shop. I think it was a big shop. The trolley looked rather full.
It was. He was definitely in a big shop.
Right, okay.
It was probably a decent supermarket as well.
What was the item?
It was washing powder, and he flung it from absolutely miles away. If he'd have missed, that would have been him for the rest of the night scooping up with his big hands bioenzymes off the floor.
It wouldn't
terrible.
He just would have walked on, wouldn't he?
Just
gone on.
But when you're the best, you could do everything.
But it's a foolhardy move, though, because like washing powder, a box of washing powder is pretty heavy duty.
It's pretty heavy duty until it catches a corner and it splits, and then you've got. And it's not as if you can just put it in your trolley and just keep on going, because then you've got like a line, haven't you? You've got like a telltale trail.
But you guys, we're approaching this from our mere mortal angle.
Mm.
When you're David De Gea, you can do that.
You're just confident.
Exactly. It was like that advert many years ago where the guy said Muhammad Ali was my brother and he used to practice. I don't know if it was just for the advert's sake or it was real. And he would have a big...
Paul Ali. Yeah, that guy.
It was Alan Ali.
Stephen Clare.
And he'd have a big old a rock behind his back and he'd chuck it at his brother from close range. And obviously he would practice his reflexes.
Wow.
If you get hit by one of them, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But when you're good, when you believe in yourself, when you need to practice like that, then
you're chucking washing powder all over them.
Do you know what
shop.
I mean?
I guess United fans should take heart from that because obviously he's so confident at the moment. He's doing throws with, well, shopping items.
Heart wouldn't do that.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, if you could take someone from the world of football for a big shop, who would it be, Jim?
It would quite simply be Harry Redknapp. Because he's going to know how to get you a deal, isn't he? he's going to make
He'd be good at haggling, wouldn't he? Yeah.
He would. It'd be really embarrassing because he'd be at the meat counter and he'd be trying to barter and haggle. And you'd be like, Harry, it's a shop. It costs what it costs. You'd be like, no. This guy's all right. Let me talk to him. And you'd be really embarrassed. And you'd go off and get little bits, like, I don't know, like salt and pepper, just, you know, everyday things that you need. And you'd come back thinking, has he stopped now? And it's like, has he stopped? Oh, no, he's got some money off that. He's got some money off that steak. Well done, Harry.
He's now got Big Sam involved in the deal.
He sort of went, listen, son, look at his tendons. They're ruined. I'll take him off your hands for half price, all right?
Yeah, exactly. He would. He'd convince the supermarket that they'd got a good deal.
Yeah.
And he'd go around getting 2-for-1s on things that aren't even the same thing and weren't previously on a 2-for-1 deal.
Barry,
he wouldn't use the checkout, though, because he don't like computers.
No. Barry Fry would just...
self-service checkout.
Barry Fry would just buy everything in the meat. Everything in the meat counter.
I reckon so. But Redknapp, though, he wouldn't get away with that in Waitrose.
No, absolutely.
He would be okay in Asda.
Asda, Morrison's.
Tesco
sort of
for a little bit.
Tesco, no.
Sainsbury's, no.
Tesco would be his realm. I think he'd be very happy in there. Yeah,
all right.
They would not see him coming.
He'd flourish in Lidl.
He'd have a lovely little time.
He would do. Or I
lovely little time.
Indeed, yeah. But then if he was being a bit too naughty and the security came to take him away, he'd be like, you can't frog march me out of him and he's gone.
Exactly.
Frog gravities.
You'd make money out of it. You would make money out of your big shop if you went with Harry Redknapp.
True enough.
I mean, what I would say is that Newcastle United's purchases over the last 10 years have kind of been Lidl-esque, haven't they? Cheap foreign imports.
Are you doing okay at the minute?
Peter, who
would you go for a big shop with?
I would go for a big shop with... No, Ronaldinho. Because we'd be in the self-service line and I'd be like I'd be trying to steal things and
Jim, can you imagine Pete and Ronaldinho going around a supermarket?
Ronaldinho, do some keep your peas, distract everyone while I try and pretend this bottle of Hennessy is a turnip as I'm going through the checkout. Awesome.
I feel that the checkouts are maybe more sophisticated than you realise.
Yeah.
I think the barcode would give away that, in fact, it's not a turnip.
Nah. Yeah. I'd press star login. It's probably, the number's probably just 1234, isn't it? You star login, 1234.
You would start...
This is definitely a turnip.
You'd start smashing bottles and they'd say, you're going to pay for that. And you'd be like, nah, don't, my mate will, because he's full of money. Hey, Ronaldinho. Oh, he's gone.
And he's still doing kick-ups with a watermelon. Everyone's having a lovely time.
Yeah, interesting is what I'd say. But, Jim, with regards to what you said about...
I mean, it's only the most solid answer I've given in the last 6 months.
True, you've actually thought about this, haven't you?
Yeah,
rather than just seeing what your mouth does.
And then, you know, running it off. I answer the questions that I want to answer.
Yeah. You should see his eyes, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when he answers, because they are being controlled by a different thing.
They dart about.
Yeah. There's two different controllers going on. But when you said about Redknapp getting you a good deal, surely Blatter or Jack Warner.
Yeah,
you go in, get your bag up your food, collect your money and leave.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but I've given my answer now.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, you know, all right. I'd go for Daniel Sturridge.
Why?
I don't need to say why. And I've got the points. No, I take Sturridge because I've got a slightly different angle here because I think he's a lovely fella.
Mm.
And he's a good cook, I think. I saw him, he was talking about cooking. He likes to cook with fish. I like a bit of fish as well. So it'd be a healthy meal. You could chat away and then we go home and have a meal. He's a God-fearing man like myself. We talk about that. We talk about our favourite goals that we've all scored. I mean, could you think of anything more marvellous than that, Peter?
It would be good.
Gods and goals. God's goals and gills.
The speller and story.
With fish.
Story.
With fishy speller.
Exactly. That's how the ramble's going to end, isn't it? That's going to take over instead. That's way better. I loved Sturridge's acting in that Subway advert he did.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Extra cheese and green peppers, please.
Yeah, Sturridge has got the points, I think.
I don't think we've ever had a decent footballer actor, have we, in this country? I mean, you know, we've had Frank Leboeuf and Eric Cantona and stuff. We've never really had
Vinnie Jones, mate.
He's probably the closest thing, to be fair.
Yeah, it's quite a rare crossover, though, isn't it? Sol Campbell wanted to be an actor once, didn't he?
He wants to be a lot of things.
He wanted to be a Conservative MP as well.
Yeah, he's done a lot of weird ambitions. That man.
Indeed he has. Let's go straight to the Premier League. It seems to be a good place to start. Manchester United 1, Arsenal 1. Super sub Giroud saved the day for Arsenal.
Didn't he just?
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Oh, my.
Mourinho jokingly said he now knows how it feels to lose against Arsenal because he felt like it was a loss.
He's a child, isn't he? It was a very timid display from Arsenal. It was very disappointing. I mean, in the first half, United definitely had the better of it, but it still looked like it could, you know, it could reasonably go either way. But the second half, Arsenal had to fly out of the blocks and sort of put themselves in charge because United had realistically been in control in the first half, but were just less effective than they were in the second. But Arsenal just didn't do that. I think there's still a sort of psychological problem at Old Trafford. We were talking about it before, on the previous show, and I think it sort of came to be. Aside from the goal, we had no shots on target, and there was a point after Man United's goal, I think it was Ozil, if memory serves me correctly, where Arsenal was sort of broken, and he was in the final third on his own, but just no one came to support him. Just he got flooded, you know, just crowded out by United players, and there was basically nothing he could have done, but just no one got up there to help. And it's like, why? You're 1-0 down. What's to lose in actually trying to score?
Yeah,
this is mental.
I find it crazy that Arsenal, they lack shots on goal so much. Like, as you say, the Giroud one was the first one. And okay, it went in and they got a point.
Great header.
It was a super
cool header.
It was, yeah. And but I just sort of think to myself, like, shoot more.
Paul Ince is what we need.
You need Paul Ince
is the man to take over from Wenger.
Absolutely. That would be a turn-up for everybody's books.
But I mean, like, Man United got to be disappointed because they were in control for so many periods during that game. And they just sat back when they were looking to close out the game. Defend from the front. At least put Arsenal on the back foot. Otherwise, they're just going to play around you.
Yeah.
They did.
Arsenal's midfield just didn't look coherent, really. Aaron Ramsey playing out on the left doesn't make a lot of sense. And we actually saw sort of the power of Paul Pogba sort of in effect because he was, you know, he didn't have the best game, but he was still, you know, he was effective in a way that none of our midfield as well. He sort of lacked some guile and creativity. And one thing I was surprised by is how Wayne Rooney didn't get booked towards the end. But just basically, like, he was screaming at Andre Mariner. Just having a...
Rooney's
proper
a bit
old go at him.
He misplaced a massive chonked pass a little earlier on, to be fair. Yeah.
And Mariner realised that and said, he's still angry about the pass.
He came on and stank up the game.
But Rooney... Yeah.
Well, probably still in his system, isn't it?
Rooney's a bit exempt from that, isn't he? Because he has bellowed at some referees before.
Passion. It's passion, isn't
passion,
it?
Passion, mate.
People like his passion.
Maybe that is. Maybe the referees love his passion as well.
English. It's an English... expletive.
But Pogba, I didn't think, played very well at all. He was pretty ineffective. Well,
I don't know, though. I think, like I said earlier, like, it wasn't... You know, there are a couple of chances I can think of that he carved out, but I just feel like his presence in the middle was made things difficult for Arsenal, just the sheer bulk of him and the power he has.
Well, the midfield three, Carrick, Herrera and Pogba, was probably midfield three that a lot of people, including myself, has been crying out for at Manchester United.
Carrick was good.
Carrick was captain. Nice to see. Jose, though, he did have a friend on hand to cheer him up in the form of Diego Maradona.
So you need, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah.
Buenos Aires, only 3 hours behind, something like that.
He's like
it's fine.
Elton John, isn't he, Maradona? You know, you hear celebrities sometimes say, oh, yeah, Elton John just rang me up and said, like, you know, oh, how you doing? I hope you're feeling all right. I've heard you're having a bit of a rough time.
Does Elton John do that?
He does it all the time, honestly. What? It's really weird.
Why does he never call me? I'm having a rough time. Can't sleep.
Well, the beacon's gone up. Maybe he'll give you a ring.
Come on.
But Maradona does the same thing. I wonder if they ever chat to each other.
Who's Elton John rang up?
Pete Doherty was one. People like
what?
That.
Really?
Amy Winehouse probably had a call at some point. He loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's
that
always
fucking
telling
goal.
People to.
It's unbelievable.
Jesus, Pete.
To be fair, it does ring a bell. But Elton John, he's like the celebrity agony aunt.
I'm just saying that Elton John and Diego Maradona are
not agony aunt. What would you. It was a sort of, I don't know.
Unsolicited
man.
Era.
Unsolicited interferer. That's a worse, possibly actionable sentence, surely. It sounds actionable. You just described Elton John as an unsolicited interferer. Good God.
Within the context, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's, you know, it's none of his business, is it? Is what I'm saying.
His business.
As lovely
as it is.
Keep
your neb out, Elton. Idiot.
Unsolicited interferer.
Wow.
My goodness. Is that the name of his book?
No, definitely not. It'd be Tiny Dancer, obviously.
Yeah, all right. There we go. So do you think Diego Maradona is one of these unsolicited interferers?
Well, based on this, yes. I can't imagine that Jose rang him first.
No, he didn't. But that's how friendship sometimes works.
Well, I mean, we've all got those wild card friends. I'm, you know, as I say that sentence, I'm thinking I'm probably the one, aren't I? Nobody wants to talk to. I've got love for you, but not now. All right. Whenever you ring, it's not good enough. It's not good. It's not a good time for me when you ring because I'll be on the phone for ages and you'll be talking nonsense.
Right. Well, Mourinho got a call from King Diego, as Mourinho called him on his Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah, he apparently phoned him after the match and was there, a shoulder to cry on. A stapled belly to cry. But Wenger said pre-match that he regretted some of the bust-ups he'd had with Mourinho over the years. It didn't stop them having a very, very cold handshake. Did you see they both looked the other way?
Yeah.
Which brilliant. I thought was brilliant because it was interesting that they both chose to look right. Because had one chosen to look left and the other right, they would have...
A kiss was in the offing.
They would have caught eyes.
They just can't stand each other, can they, at this point? It's so obvious.
Yeah, and, you know...
Fair dues. That's allowed, isn't it?
It is allowed. Hmm. Well, I tell you what, Wenger and Arsenal, I quite like what he's doing at the moment with Giroud. Giroud is a good player, but he's not up there with the Agüeros and the Diego Costas, of course. We know this, but he's played a little bit like an impact sub of this season, certainly. And I think that's not a bad idea, because Arsenal... perhaps play more fluidly without him, with Alexis trying to lead the line. Now, obviously, they didn't have any shots on goal in that particular game, which is pretty poor. But when they're down and need to mix it up, it's a decent plan B, and he is a decent target man.
I couldn't tell you the exact stats, but he has scored a lot of goals off the bench for us. He's been effective in that role before. And the Sanchez thing obviously didn't work at the weekend, and at the beginning of the season, it wasn't really working either. But sort of between those periods, it's actually has been quite fruitful. So I understand why Wenger went with it, and it is good to have a plan B like that. But you know, Giroud's obviously frustrated, and it's interesting to see how this is going to pan out. Is it going to be that Alexis Sanchez is just a striker now, which is an interesting way to move him in, largely because of his height as well? You do sort of lose out on that aerial threat, although I think he's got a couple of headers this season, so maybe not. Lucas Perez is injured as well at the moment, so we don't know whether he's going to sort of fit back in. And Welbeck's due to come back soon as well, so if both of those players come back at the same time, you've got quite a array of options there.
But it's always the case, though. They've always got people coming back. And going. I mean, Ramsey was there, but he didn't seem seem to do too much.
No, but Ramsey playing out on the left is just bizarre, though, isn't it? Yeah. I guess it's to just...
He got the opportunity to laugh at Mourinho at one point, didn't he?
That's true.
Mourinho threw the ball away, I think.
Yeah, had a proper little flap, didn't he?
Well, we certainly enjoyed that, but we're going to talk about Manchester United's noisy neighbours after this. So good. Very good. Very good. So good. Oh, hello, everybody. It's Yaya Toure time.
He's back, everyone.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't he just?
Wow, that was it was wonderful. Dimitri Selak, his agent, simply tweeted, "That's my boy."
Not a boy. What?
What's that?
What? Nothing.
That's my boy.
Not a boy.
Hashtag Yaya is back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, isn't it? Did you see Pep Guardiola's interview afterwards where he said it was so brilliant? He said, I'm really happy for him. He is a really nice guy. And it really was as pronounced as that. It's just great.
He, I think, is a very nice guy.
he's a nice guy. And that's what counts in football. There was a pitch invasion by a small group of Man City supporters. One fan even carrying his young daughter in his arms onto the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's slippery on a pitch, isn't it? That's really dangerous.
Yeah.
That's bad dadding.
It doesn't matter what time of year. Even if the dad was wearing studs.
Not prepared.
Yeah, don't bring your young daughter into this.
If you're a steward and you're letting people in the ground, you see someone with studs, you're like, you're going to be on the pitch, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
You're not allowed in.
Bring screw-ins.
Mouldies.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Don't wear blades, though.
No.
That's never...
They're not allowed now, are they?
Are they not?
I thought they'd been banned. I don't know.
Depends what sporting arena you're talking about. Blades,
yeah,
and that.
Quite. I can't remember. I don't really look into what blades and studs are allowed, I must say.
Well, apparently Toure was given a standing ovation by his teammates in the dressing room after the match. It was interesting, though. When he scored, the reaction of his teammates showed you that he is a very nice guy, because they went straight over to him and they loved the fact that he'd scored.
Yeah.
And that was quite telling, I thought.
Elton's on the phone.
Elton doesn't need to be on the phone. Maybe Elton was on the phone the previous week.
Well, that's it. He's going, I told you you were brilliant. Just had to have faith in yourself.
He was on the phone to Pep pretending to be Selak. Oh, God. Hello, it's Dimitri Selak here.
I'm really sorry. Indeed. Well, Guardiola said humbly, "I wouldn't say that Toure's performance was about my decision to put him back in the team. It's about his quality," which was quite humble.
That's good management from Guardiola.
It is good management.
He said his weight is perfect now.
that was a dig.
Well, I mean, you know, he had reservations about his weight, and he solved them.
True enough. Whereas West Brom, Saido Berahino's been sent to France for like a boot camp or something.
Really?
For his weight or something.
That's where the croissants are. Yeah, it's the worst place to send
them. Pan au chocolat there.
Jeez. You can pret a manger on every corner, I assume. Well, lingerie's as far as the eye can see.
How good would it be?
Je regard.
How good would it be if he came back like genuinely really fat?
Yeah, and he's taken up smoking.
He's like, I'm done with football.
Yeah.
And this is my way of telling you. It'd be great. But Toure, I mean, there he was.
First goal was magnificent, wasn't it?
I mean, it did take a deflection, but it was a lovely little 1-2.
Getting himself into that position in a crowded penalty. Mm.
The second goal was an absolute gift.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary. The ball was hit along the deck and it went through everybody. The keeper just sort of jumped out the way, and Toure was there just to sort of side foot it calmly into an open net from a corner. I've never seen a corner like it.
would be, wouldn't it? It was brilliant.
It was crazy. But it was an important win for Man City. Only their second in their last 6 matches. They're a point behind Chelsea, of course, who've won 6 league games in a row. Chelsea dominating tings.
It's weird, isn't it? Because you think of City not having won for ages, so you think, oh, they should be, maybe they'll be a bit further behind. But it's still fairly early in the season, so it's all very, very level. It's great.
It's true. Do you think Toure's going to stick around that Man City starting 11? Or is he going to be rested for the next 6 weeks?
Do you think he'll... maybe he'll get a move in January still.
We'll see. I have to hold my hands up and say that, you know, I was one of many people during the summer and whatnot saying, come on, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
And there he is. He's come to be... You can't argue with that. He's come back
with
into
only
the side.
3 months of rest.
Giving it his all.
Maybe that's the payoff.
For one match against Crystal Palace.
The worst team in the country in 2016.
With a gift of a second goal. And a deflected first.
Yeah.
Well done, Selak.
There we go.
And your boy. No, to be fair, look, he's come into the side. They've won 2-1. He scored both goals. I mean,
yeah, no, you can't really argue with
you
it.
You can't argue that,
but
no.
You can undermine it.
You can be a bit sniffy about it.
Yeah, you can be sniffy about it. So Alan Pardew's still getting away with it, isn't he?
Yeah, well, is he? Is anybody calling him on his rubbish?
I love the thought of Gareth Southgate watching this, thinking, "Come on, Alan, come on,
just one
People
point, just get a point
for this, just anything,
Alan, just give me something."
They are going to give me the job next week, Alan. All right, time is running out. You're away to Swansea next. You've got to do something there.
I did me interview. I tried to set fight the bloke's tie. They still wanted me.
I missed a penalty in the interview. Just to remind them.
They told me to get the PowerPoint out. I'd punch the computer.
Yeah. No, Alan, Steve Bruce can't get promoted, but in a week, it's gone. It's not happening. But Palace struggling, fifth loss in a row.
Mm, and the rest of them. Yeah. I'm not having that in a row. And the rest of the buggers.
Oh, it's vindication for Pete.
Now, Peter, we know that you like Palace and you don't want to see them suffer, but if they will appoint Alan as their manager...
They will appoint Alan Pardew as their manager.
You've no sympathy.
They hate him because he's a Cockney.
They hate him?
No, that was your lot. It was your ungrateful rabble.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. It was a better performance from Palace.
Yeah.
You know, another day they might have got a point.
Their goal was quite weird as well, because Joel Ward cleared it off the line.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very well. And Conor Wickham went up the other end and scored, didn't he? Hasn't Conor Wickham got a really good record against Man City?
I think he does, yeah.
I might have imagined that.
No, yeah, I think you're right. Was it a bit... Should Bravo have done a bit better with that? Or was it just a beast of a shot?
He did hit it hard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. Bravo is a professional goalkeeper, so he should be used to that.
Indeed, yeah.
To be honest, I can't remember.
He should have kicked it away with those brilliant feet of his, eh, yeah. Pep?
I forgot my gloves. That really hurt my hand. Ow!
Touré should have saved it.
He was everywhere else, Jim. Everywhere else. What about the... there was a big London derby, Spurs versus West Ham. Oh, yeah.
Oh dear.
The Harrys took care of business.
They really did, didn't they?
The Canes and the Winks were among the scorers.
Harry Winks, what a name.
It's brilliant. It's so good. He should be playing for West Ham with a name.
He really should.
Harry Winks, yeah, yeah. He does.
He's playing for West Ham and, like, I don't know, like, kneecapping people at night.
And his dad owns a jelly deal.
Yeah.
Pie and mash shop.
Yeah. We still wink the old way.
Yeah. My daddy owns a place. He does jelly deals and skips.
I came here for a wink out.
Luke and I don't know if maybe you were there, Jim, as well. We were in East London once and we went into like a proper old calf.
Yeah, I was with you, yeah.
Yeah. Was it Archer? It's Archer's or something.
Something like that, yeah, because it was before the show we did at the Arcola Theatre. It was in Dalston.
That's right, yeah.
It was a proper old school one.
And there was a bloke there. It's called like Archer's Calf or something like that.
Mm.
And the old boy was in there and they started calling him Archer. And Luke was very happy about this because there was Archer. And he started saying what the combos that he did. He was like, I do bacon, sausage, chips, bacon, beans, sausage, like all these sort of different combos.
Yeah.
And I think Luke asked for like one that basically a combo that he hadn't thought of, the only one missing. He was like, no, I don't do bacon with that.
Yeah, it's like, just
take the bacon, let's put it in.
Like, it's have it your way.
I can show you, Archer.
No, I don't think it was that.
And I'll have
Arthur, not Archer.
Arthur, of course.
Arthur,
yeah,
sorry.
Arthur. That's right, it was called Arthur's. Yeah, he was fully aware he could have done it, but they just simply do not do that anymore.
I love that. But anyway, back to the London
derby.
He wanted
it five times, though.
Yeah, Winks, it was nice to see him go crazy when he scored.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment. Score on your debut.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, it was great. I think it was the league debut. I think he's played another game.
Okay, right.
Rio Ferdinand said that young players in Tottenham's academy will take heart from that goal and think they'll be given a chance. And it's true, isn't it, to see Harry Winks going into that side, who are a good side, still unbeaten in the league, who are challenging for a Premier League title. They're in the Champions League. For him to play him in a big game like that, okay, West Ham aren't doing so well. It is encouraging for Tottenham
and also,
their academy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, at this stage, it looks like it really adds some depth to the squad that you've got this exciting young prospect nobody really knows anything about, so in terms of the opposition. So it smacks with the depth they have, and it's another weapon for them, really, isn't it?
It'd be great if their next kind of prospect that comes through is another Harry.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
All the Harrys.
Yeah, all the Harrys.
Three Harrys.
Yeah. Well, Harry Kane got a double. He's back among the goals.
He was Harrier.
And I mean, Spurs did struggle in the early stages. Mikel Antonio got his traditional headed goal.
Amazing.
Well taken.
Yeah, of course.
It sort of flashed past everybody else, and there he is.
He's brilliant at them.
Yeah. But I mean, West Ham were frustrating Spurs.
Yeah.
Obviously, they'll be gutted because they lost the game, and especially...
They were playing away, Marcus.
They were playing... Yeah, I know. Yeah,
they will do that.
Yeah.
But has Harry Kane been offered a decent contract yet? Because he was indulging in a little bit of, well, Danny Levy was rather, indulging in his favourite pastime of brinkmanship and really? not offering him enough money. So
okay,
that's what I heard anyway.
Ooh, hey, Pete's Wicked Whispers. Mm.
That's wicked brilliant. Whispers. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, Pochettino started with a midfield diamond. It didn't look so good. I remember when I started watching the game, I thought, what's he doing there? Something a little bit different. It didn't seem to have that much of a beneficial effect for Spurs. But when Son came on, made a difference.
Yeah.
He really did.
He's so improved from last season. He was very good last season as well. But he's demanding a starting place.
Mm. Yeah. Now, Spurs, I mean, as you say, Jim, about Manchester City, they're only 1 point off the top, having had a bit of a... I suppose a bit of a sticky period, especially with Guardiola's lofty standards and Man City's as well. Spurs have drawn half of their games this season, so a win was extremely important. And they're only 4 points off the top; they're still in there.
Yeah,
but they're drawing a lot of games.
They are drawing a lot of games, but
which is better than losing them. Granted,
yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because they're playing well in them though. Like the West Brom game, I remember in particular. Like they did batter them. They just got a bit unlucky. I think part of it is because they have been missing Kane and Dembele. As we said, and Janssen hasn't quite clicked yet. He looks furious to be taken off, which you have to look at as a good thing as well, because he obviously wants to prove himself, and it's not quite clicking for him yet. But you know, I mean, I guess with Kane in the way, he's gonna have to wait and take his chance. I just think it's the way you look at the way Tottenham play. They are so energetic, and they do have so much depth and quality, as we've already touched on. That the wins are going to come. Like they absolutely are.
They're going to come, Peter, and the wins are coming for Sunderland as well.
I did not see that one coming.
I
saw a 0-0 bore fest in the offing for that one.
They're off the bottom of the table.
off the bottom of the table. You're still
now 2 points above Newcastle in the footballing pyramid.
that's a good point. Yeah, I guess they are. That's great.
Yeah,
good.
That's great news, good. Isn't it?
It's great news.
Well done, the North East.
How important was Nchibi?
Oh, it's brilliant. Oh.
He just comes back from injury.
Yeah.
And he bloody shows everyone what's what.
Oh, it's great. I love how weirdly sometimes a player who you don't think of someone who's going to set the world alight, it just fits into a system and suddenly he and the team look so much better and they look like world beaters. And we've got a big man and little man up top. I really like that.
Yeah, well, he's a funny player in each of you because he can have these moments and then, you know... His own history would suggest that he could go the next 3 months without scoring.
Absolutely.
And that's...
Well, he was sad because they really needed some help up top. I'm just glad... I am glad that Sunderland have got, more than one player.
Why are you shaking... Don't shake your head when you're saying that, mate. but Jermaine Defoe got his 150th Premier League goal. What a goal it was.
Yeah. Well, that's... I think that's what's going to help Sunderland now, isn't it? If Anichabi and Defoe can click as they have been, even if Anichabi does stop scoring, but he's laying on the chances for Defoe. I mean, it's not... Realistically... Even at Defoe's age, there aren't that many players you'd want like sniffing those chances more than him. He's brilliant at it. It's always been, his key strength. And I love the Nchibi's. I think it was his first goal. It might even been his second goal where he said as he ran to the crowd and the cameras picked it up, he just went, "Oh my God!" It's brilliant. It's so good.
That's class. That Defoe, 150th Premier League goal, became the 8th player to do so, and the other players in order of the quickest to do it. Of course, Newcastle's very own Alan Shearer is number one. Thierry Henry, Andy Cole, Michael Owen, Robbie Fowler, Jermaine Defoe and Frank Lampard. There's your 8.
Half them.
The very likeable 8. There was a floodlight failure, which is often quite pleasing to see for some reason.
I don't know why,
Definitely at the Stadium of Light, though, isn't it?
Hey!
It's funny.
There you go.
Funny.
There's your joke.
It's funny.
I know it is. But you're right, Jim, about Defoe and Ichibi, and it's an obvious thing to say, but if you have... Especially Defoe, proper goal scorers in your team, or at least a proper goal scorer.
It gives you a chance.
It really does. It's such
gives
a pain.
A chance.
I know it's a
gives
really,
you a
really
chance.
Because you look at Hull. Hull actually had some decent chances themselves. I mean, Jordan Pickford in goal was again brilliant for Sunderland. I mean, what a player he is turning out to be.
what a season he's having to have.
Yeah. But he's kept a clean sheet, considering what the season that they're having. I mean, that's such an encouragement for everyone throughout the team.
Two wins on the bounce. As we said again on the preview show, they absolutely have to use this as a platform now. And it's a 3-0 win is really going to give you some confidence, regardless of who it's against.
It's true.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Hull are struggling big time. They kept the ball well for Piers, but didn't really do much. They created a few chances. If it wasn't for Pickford, they'd have probably scored. But that's goalkeepers for you. They'll do that. They will try and keep you out. Bournemouth got a clean sheet on the road and a win. Great win for the Cherries. Moved up to ninth in the table after that win. Ake with the only goal. Callum Wilson can feel a little hard done by for not getting a penalty when Ryan Shawcross fouled. I mean,
I didn't see this. What happened? Talk me through it, Marcus. Well, player by player.
Ran through on goal. Shawcross dived in, full stretch. Nowhere near the ball. Cleaned him out. I mean, it's a red card and a penalty. And the ref obviously didn't see it. And will be managing in a... will be refereeing in a lower league.
Yeah, and also...
As of next week.
Yeah, quite. And Callum Wilson was booed for diving as well, wasn't he?
that's Stoke fans, isn't it? You know, with Aaron Ramsey. Although not all of them are like that. Some Stoke fans are absolutely wonderful. And they create a great atmosphere at that stadium. It's important to clarify.
Another win for Bournemouth.
Sake. For my Twitter's sake. Sorry, Peter.
Another win for Bournemouth.
Another win for Bournemouth.
They are adding points to their tally.
They just look...
That's how the league works.
They just look like an established Premier League team already, don't they?
Yeah.
Bournemouth, they really do.
Jack Wilshere, excellent again. Mm. Nearly scored.
He's a very good footballer. It shouldn't really be a surprise to anyone that as he gets a run of games in a team, he's got his quality.
But people were saying, though, that in a side like Bournemouth, would Jack Wilshere, if it is a relegation scrapper, it is a team in which they're more often than not the second best team on the pitch, would he adapt to that? But
he's a hard worker, isn't he? He's box to box kind of.
Yeah.
Part of his problem and part of the reason he's had so many injuries is because he does, you know, he really waits to the last moment to sort of shift his body, and that's how he, you know, gets tackled a lot, gets fouled a lot. He's a combative player. He sort of likes it. So yeah. I didn't really have much fear for Wilshere that he wouldn't fit in there.
True. Bojan missed a penalty.
Yeah, and it wasn't a penalty, was it?
He stood on his foot.
Oh, true. I don't think the way it went over made it look like a dive.
Mind you, we forgot to mention the one for Manchester United. Who was it?
Antonio Valencia. Monreal on him.
That was a pen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument against it being a penalty was that he was already falling over, but Monreal definitely made a difference to him.
Mourinho,
Sodom.
we saw Mourinho was genuinely aggrieved.
Which is great.
Yeah, well, often we see him when he kind of fakes it and pretends to be a bit put out. But he was genuinely put out. You thought, oh, there's the face.
Yeah.
Nice to see. Very nice.
How's your travel tavern?
Yeah. let's go to the Championship. Brighton 1, Aston Villa 1. Decent point for Villa.
Yeah, and actually, you know what? The way Villa are going, starting to pick up points, and obviously Brucey's at the helm, got a lot of experience at that level, blah, blah, blah. I think that will prove to be a good point for Brighton as well. Because I think Villa are getting going now. And they're going to fly up the table, I reckon.
Unbeaten in 6 under Brucey. Villa have only won 4 matches in 17 so far this season. Mm. 3 of them have come in the last 6 under that man, Steve Bruce, ladies and gentlemen.
Under the big old skin clouds. Isn't that interesting that he gets them going so quickly?
Yeah.
He sort of turns them into a...
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Agbonlahor started that match. The first time he started a match since March.
He's not going to get him going, is he?
I don't know. He's trying. I mean, he was taken off after 55 minutes. But still, Glenn Murray scored his 150th league goal.
What a hit.
Yeah, lovely one. Lovely one. Brighton 4 points above Reading in third, but 5 points behind those Geordie Hawaii the boy lads.
Colin Calderwood went from Brighton to Villa the day before the match as well, which is weird.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
They had to pay compensation. Brighton are looking for a deputy manager. That's not a word, is it? That's not a phrase, is it?
Yeah. Vice manager.
The manager's not a sheriff. Sheriff Brucey. Newcastle beating Leeds, eh?
Another win. Chalk it down.
Dwight Gale.
Is it satisfying that a Pardew reject is tearing it up?
It is, kind of, yeah. I mean, it helps that Rob Green's dropping the ball left, right and centre. Yeah. Didn't even hit the ground. That's what I liked about it. Didn't even hit the ground.
Drops on his foot.
Dropped on his foot. I'll have that. Thank you very much. Gale had his teeth punched to bits in midweek.
Did he?
He had them. I don't think they actually got knocked out, but there were reports that he'd lost 4 teeth in an altercation in Liverpool at a nightclub.
That wasn't the same as the Strictly Come Dancing guy, was it? That
I don't think he was involved in the same fracas.
Oh my goodness.
But
well, he needs a call from Elton John, by the way.
I think someone.
Elton John's not a dentist.
I think someone's just a meddler. I think someone wanted to. A meddler of Mamelons, possibly. Which are those little bumps on the end of your teeth. There you go. It's QI podcast, this may as well be. I may as well be one of those L's. I've never watched it. Don't understand
a molar, the appeal. A molar meddler?
Yeah. That would be more obvious,
that
yeah.
Better, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right,
yeah.
I'm Stuart Lee, you're whoever's on Vote on Your Shoe that week. All right?
All right.
I'm better off out of it, all right?
Carry on.
Yeah.
Any more on Newcastle, Peter?
I'm just saying that somebody wanted to punch his teeth out to test his age because that man has got an old man's head.
Yeah, he does.
Dwight Gale's got a proper man head.
We're talking about a man getting a few teeth punched out. It's not a
No,
funny...
we've moved on to his weird head.
Oh, yeah, okay, they were trying to test his teeth.
I see.
That's how you test age, apparently.
Sorry, yeah.
I didn't know until the Daily Mail told me.
Right, indeed. Moving on swiftly.
Man head.
To QPR.
Dwight Gale's got a man head.
I mean, he isn't a man.
He's a boy. He's a little boy with a man's head.
Let me talk about
it's
Ian
weird.
Holloway.
Don't like it. Can't look directly at him.
QPR, he's winning you the league. Never shut up. QPR 2, Norwich 1. Ian Holloway back at Loftus Road.
Yeah, did you see Olsen's quite baffling decision to pretty much just jump on the ball
line? Yeah.
It was really weird. He got sent off. But did you see the Norwich players did that weird reaction that players sometimes do, but to a real extreme, where they just tried to stop the referee from getting his card out?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Like that's going to work. Like, you just keep that up for 90 minutes and he doesn't get sent off.
Take his whistle away. You can't give free kicks against us.
Yeah, I believe you'll find I can.
Yes, well, it was a bit strange. I think, Peter, you said that at least Holloway will be off our screens now for a bit and won't be saying silly things. And I said, I'm not sure, mate. I think he might be even more so on our screens.
In
the post-match and that. And he said, because he's been working as a pundit recently, he said after the game, "What a day. I really need to go and lie down now. For what I've been doing recently, that's the equivalent for 4 months' work in 1 week. I feel like I'm on one of those rides at Disneyland."
Obviously.
Yeah.
This is exactly the kind of nonsense you didn't want.
And now you've got it, Peter.
Yeah.
You've got it in bucket loads.
Got it all nice.
He showed the players the Samuel Jackson film Coach Carter last week to motivate
players. I love that
idea.
Movie nights with Ollie.
You probably think, you two perverts, probably think Samuel Jackson's A-list, don't you? Oh, I've been left with the kids.
Hang on.
With their opinions.
What did you think of... What do you mean? You and Jim agreed on,
yeah,
on Goldblum.
Oh, was it me and you? I thought it was me and Luke. Sorry.
No.
Sorry, Jim, for besmirching your good name.
Yeah.
And your good taste. So we can gang up on Marcus.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
B-list.
I thought we were doing that.
B-list, Samuel Jackson.
I think...
B-list. Massive B-list.
Sounds like you need to find yourself a different alibi.
Alibi.
Alibi, that's right, yeah.
Jackson's closest to the A-list. It's a confused one. People keep
Get
sending
lost.
Me pictures of the
He did
Jeff
snakes
Goldblum.
On the plane at his height.
But yeah, but
not
he's on...
his height. But
he was.
He's in the Avengers movie.
Shut
mate.
You know, Jeff.
He's a key player in the biggest movie franchise in the world.
Exactly. So shut up, you prat.
Which one's that one?
The Avengers. All of that.
Oh, come on.
People keep sending me pictures of the Jeff Goldblum.
There's eight of them. There's always eight of them.
Misunderstanding that you can be a cult figure and have your face on some shoes.
In every film.
It's going to be a nightmare.
Every film, there's eight of them. Yeah. And you're saying that he's A-list.
Well,
shut your noise, Marcus Speller.
You're being a prat.
Did you see... Tell it to Elton.
Look, as Jim says, you can have your face on a pair of shoes and be a cult hero. Okay?
Did you see the Peterborough United...
Tell it to Elton.
Did you see the Peterborough United high-vis kits they've got?
Oh, it's so good, this.
He passed... Yeah. Like, one of the players just passed it. Good pass. Straight to a steward. Fantastic.
Who didn't notice. Which is sort of the thing about
Did the steward join in?
Well, the steward was walking behind... He was behind the hoarding, to be fair.
To be fair to him, he was stewarding very well.
He was stewarding quickly and efficiently. But he just put it, you know, just a couple of metres in front of him.
Yeah.
Nice to run on to.
That's class.
Unfortunately, the man was a steward and not a footballer.
That's brilliant.
Great. Alex Ferguson wouldn't be having those kits.
No.
Actually, it was Peterborough that had the mascot thing last week.
What was
it?
The mascot thing?
The mascot thing, it was one of the highlights of the week. Let me just dig it out.
Dig it out.
You have a little diggy there.
Yeah, the referee at the game for them last week told the mascot to change his kit because he was confusing the players.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and the stewards need to change their... jacket.
What's that about?
It's blend happening all over the pot.
Blend.
Yeah, my goodness.
So blendy, Peter,
oh,
at the moment.
Oh, goodness. Well, then, what about this? National League, before we go to a break. AFC. How do you pronounce that? Filled?
I'd go with filled.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it to you.
I've had my fill of you, Marcus.
AFC Filled beat Boston 9-2.
9-2.
The two. I love the two in that.
Why?
Well, because it's a bit of an odd number.
Maths perv.
Well, maybe. If it's 9-0, right, they've just been hammered.
Right.
If it's 9-1, maybe like at 1-1, they might have got a goal, or right at the end when the other team are going, yeah, we got 9, go on, give yourself a goal. 2 just seems a bit weird.
Imagine it was 2-1 at one point today.
I mean, like, they've had the team, they've shipped 9 goals but had 2 successful attacks.
Yeah.
Just seems a bit weird to me.
Was it Portsmouth and Reading that finished 7-4 once?
7-4.
That was weird. And actually, I think Arsenal beat Reading 7-4, having been 4-1 down at half time.
That was in the
cup. Yeah.
That was the Theo Walcott Did he score three or four?
Possibly. I think Shamak had a really good game as well.
Yeah,
I
mean,
that's how much of an anomaly it was.
9-2
Newcastle-Arsenal, 5-5
Four-all.
Yeah.
Four-all.
I added one for good luck.
We were 4-0 up at half-time.
I gave Tio a goal, two goals.
Yeah. I remember seeing that guy to 4-1 and just knowing.
Just knowing. OK, well, we're going to go to a break before we just start remembering big scores.
Big scores are back, baby.
To the break.
Watch yourself, it's a ramble, boys. Chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget that the Football Ramble preview show, excuse me, sponsored by Bet365, is out this Friday. Arsenal ruined our bet of the week last time.
Idiots.
We went for a Spurs and Arsenal win double.
Mm.
And Spurs played their part, Arsenal did not play their part.
No, we didn't.
Gutted.
Which is a great shame.
Why blame Man United? for being distinctly uncharitable.
Indeed, yes. Let's go straight to La Liga. There was a Madrid derby. It was the last Madrid derby to be played at the Vicente Calderon Stadium, at Atleti's home for many, many years. It's quite an iconic stadium, really, in that part of the world. It's a great place. I've been there. I've watched football there, so you don't have to, ladies and gentlemen.
Were they separate incidents?
What, when I went there?
It sounds like you went there,
yeah,
and something happened that you won't talk about.
I don't know.
You also went and watched football.
I don't know. I was very much there for the football.
Right.
And created the stadium as an iconic kind of ground. That's what it became. I took away a brick because they're moving. It was the last Madrid derby we played there, and Cristiano Ronaldo pissed all over the party.
Didn't he just?
39th career hat-trick. He's now got 18 goals in the Madrid derby, which overtakes Alfredo Di Stefano's previously held record of 17.
He's knee bad.
He really is a knob, isn't he?
He loves it. He absolutely loves it.
He's well within his rights to score.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but the worse it would be for the opposition if he scored, the better he is. But it's good on him. It's great.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's just sensational. I mean, he's 31 now, I think, scoring a hat-trick in the Madrid derby away against the team under Simeone, notoriously incredibly difficult to break down and score goals. Now, OK, one was a deflected free kick and one was a penalty, which was very sloppy from the defender.
Quite
frankly, and then of course the third, you know, they're already 2-0 down.
The third one, Gareth Bale was fantastic.
Yeah, he just powered
through.
But Atleti were 2-0 down at that point,
yeah.
So you know, you can pick it apart like that. But it's just incredible. And Zidane's played Ronaldo more like a striker in that game, and it's working. And I tell you something, Cristiano Ronaldo, if he now becomes that kind of, I suppose, modern number nine centre forward, now where he can't be. like what Gareth Bale's doing, you know, that kind of what you'd call
marauding quick kind of player. And he's not going to be that marauding. He's had too many injuries to be that quick forever, is he?
Exactly. And he is 31 now. Mm. And the amount of football that man has played since the age of about 16, you know, it will begin to catch up with him. And some people have suggested a year or two ago that it has, but he's still blisteringly good.
Yeah.
And normally when we see the likes of a, again, it's not quite right to call him a winger, but he has played as a winger before. When you have someone like Ryan Giggs, of course, slows up a bit, so he goes into a more kind of defensive midfield role. Paul Scholes even did that. You tend to go back. Ronnie goes further forward.
Yeah, I love that. I want to be near the goal.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He'll be 40 years old, just waiting for the nod-ins.
It's class. It's absolute class. And it's not that too dissimilar. I know this is a bit different, granted, but the Brazilian Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo, if you will, when he started putting on the pounds at Real Madrid, he would just stand up front.
Yeah.
And he would... Like, there would be no backswing to his foot. He would just sort of jab a foot at it and it would fly in the top's corner.
Yeah.
With, like, Zidane and Guti and all the players, like, doing all the work, lay it on for him.
Even then, though, he was still very quick over a short distance.
Oh, so acceleration was definitely his key.
Yeah. Over 10, 15 metres, Ronaldo was still lightning. He probably still is.
But he would accelerate while doing those stepovers.
Yeah.
It was like a whirlwind and a man at the same time. Incredible.
It's class. But so Cristiano Ronaldo is, you know, like I say, he's obviously a bit different, but I love the fact that he's going further forward because you've got the supply. The team
Absolutely.
Like that, you'll always going to have the supply.
But
he did it for Portugal as well. You know, had a very hard working midfield, and it did make sense for that Portuguese side in the Euros because they just needed to be quite robust. And if they can get the ball up there, and the thing is with Ronaldo, it just shows you how amazing he is because he can the type of player like he has been over the years. Shouldn't be used as a target man.
No. Well, it's worth just for his headers alone, really.
It's worth
playing him up there just for his headers alone. And Real Madrid, historically, perhaps that position hasn't been the most important position over the last few seasons, maybe. Mm.
Yeah.
Because they've had such a wealth of excellent players in midfield and out on the wide.
So I just love the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo, you think to yourself, okay, if he can't run as much, you know, that reduces the dribbling ability, the pace and all that stuff. No, he could put a cross in and he can get his head on it. Like, there's nothing you can
say in other areas.
Exactly, yeah.
He's excellent.
Stunning.
So, we said before Zidane took over at Madrid
that clearly
what they wanted was their own Guardiola.
Yeah.
And Zidane is the comparable iconic figure in a sense. And like, it's going well, isn't it?
Well, we thought it would end in disaster quickly. But he's going well.
He immediately won the Champions League and they look really, really good. And I think, you know, this is obviously a fantastic Madrid team and people will make the argument that anybody could do well with this. But, you know, they've had more experienced managers with comparably good teams that have got less out of them.
Indeed. I mean, they're 29 matches unbeaten. They won the Champions League. They are, what are they, 4 points? Above Barcelona in top spot, I think. Incredible. I mean, you compare that to, say, Atletico Madrid, you know, down in sixth position, 9 points off the top already. I mean, Barcelona got a dreadful draw at home to Malaga, 0-0.
They were missing Messi and Suarez, but they should still have enough.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, Malaga had two men sent off. Okay, one was in injury time towards the end, you know. I think the other one was 60-odd minutes. But, I mean, when Carlos Kameni's in the Malaga goal, he's not having any of it. You know, he is good.
He made a point-blank save from Neymar in the 93rd minute.
He's class as Kameni. He's a really good keeper. And it's lovely to see a goalkeeper like that when he gets a bit between his teeth and thinks, no.
No,
today,
shall not pass.
Yeah, I'm going to create a big old story that my grandchildren will love me telling over and over again when I kept Barcelona out nearly single-handedly. It was great.
I like the thought of Grandad Carlos.
Well, yeah, but Madrid, they are top with 30 points, 4 above Barcelona, I believe, yeah.
Take that, you silly little Barcelona mugs. See you in the last 16 of the Champions League, you cowards.
Bayern. Bayern, Arsenal,
right,
are going to get, yeah.
Good point.
They will finish second behind Atleti.
Yeah, we'll slay Bayern and then we'll have Barca.
Indeed, yeah, it should be fine. Let's move on to Serie A. There was a Milan derby. Ex-Liverpool man Souza got a brace.
God, yeah, both of these goals were fantastic. And Kandreva's goal was a decent hat.
Kandreva's was a glorious
goal. Absolutely astounding. Yeah, it was just, what an atmosphere at the Milan derby. And I know people talk about how it isn't, you know, the game it once was, but to the fans it is. It was insane.
That felt a bit more like it.
All of you to watch the highlights of it. It was brilliant. That's what a derby should be.
That felt a bit more like it, though, because Milan are a bit better now. It's a race for second spot, really, in Serie A. Juventus have already broken away from the pack, as they will
depressingly.
Do. Yeah, I know, but, you know, that, unfortunately, that's the way it's been in Serie A for a little while. Suso said that if he scored a couple of goals in the Milan derby, he'd walk home.
Yeah, why make that promise?
It's silly, isn't it?
It's 27 miles. 27 miles they worked out.
Yeah.
Silly.
Very, very silly.
It's a very poor translation of the Proclaimers song.
I was reading a book about sleep because I've been sleeping recently. And
it's overrated, isn't it?
It's all right, boring, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
Just lying down for a bit.
No
rubbish.
Way, no way.
Stay up all night reading instead.
What could the problem be?
And this guy was sort of basically saying that he worked for, I think, Manchester City and a couple of other clubs and stuff, and they have massive kind of apartment complexes on their training ground that people can have a little snooze.
This is Milan, isn't it?
Well, all the big clubs, yeah. Basically. Real's definitely got it.
All
Manchester City's got it as well. All the big ones. So, yeah, have a little snooze.
Oh, wow.
That's lovely.
Do you remember Michael Essien claimed he slept for about 14 hours a day?
Yeah, that's right.
Usain Bolt does 12 or 13. Yeah.
My goodness.
Wow.
Mind you, it's a shame for Ronaldinho, because if he was still playing, because there was that story not that long ago where one of his former PSG teammates said that Ronaldinho would often just come in on the Friday just before the game, because he'd be out having a bit of a booze up.
For an entire week.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And then he would come in on the Friday, walk straight in with his sunglasses on, go to the treatment room, lie down on one of the the physio beds and just have a little kip. The consummate professional. Went on to be the best player in the world.
I imagine he sort of put his head through one of his little holes, vomited for about 3 minutes. Just get it all out. Lovely.
Hand me a cocktail with a straw underneath it.
The week's excesses.
It's a weirdly contradictory thing, isn't it, that you hear stories about that, and it actually makes you think, I don't know if we appreciated quite how good he was.
He's able to do that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the funny one is with when people talk about some of the African players. Are they as old as they say they are? Sometimes they're more advanced in years, and we've heard many stories about certain players. And you think to yourself,
certain countries, I think it's fair to say. Nigeria is a big one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I think to myself, you know, if you know, certain, you know, this player or that player was playing at the top flight in Europe, like in Serie A at the age of 40, come out with it.
Yeah.
What an achievement.
I was well old.
Yeah, I was playing the Premier League at 42. Magnificent. Absolutely, yeah. You know, I scored a winning goal in FA Cup. Come on, getting too specific there. speaking of age, the big story from the Juventus win against Pescara 3-0 at home was that 16-year-old Moyes Keane came off the bench. I think it's pronounced Moyes, I'm sure. Maybe that'll be corrected in weeks to come. But
in the end, just say Moyes. Then we'll put it in.
Moise.
Right.
Moise Keane.
Keane. Go for Moise.
Keano.
His surname's Keane. We'll Keane go with Keane. He came off the bench to become the first Serie A player born this century.
Disgusting.
The first player.
Disgusting.
The first player. It happens, Peter.
It's not having it.
It's the passing of time, Peter. You can't be angry at the passing of time.
That's right. Even Bieber's getting older, mate. The first player born in the 21st century to feature in the Football League was, of course, Bury striker Callum Stiles. Well, it sounds like he should be in One Direction.
They said that Keane, he's probably named after bloody Harry Styles. Keane, Kevin Bench, apparently he's the new Mario Balotelli. He wore one of the t-shirts saying, why always me?
Did he?
At one point. That's he's not even old enough to buy fireworks.
Is he not?
No, not at 16. You can't buy fireworks at 16, are you?
Well, we haven't checked the laws in Italy, have we?
True.
True enough.
You buy ninja stars on school holidays, aren't you?
On scooters.
On the continent.
to the Bundesliga. Dortmund won by nil. Hey! There you go.
Mario Götze got an assist. That must have been pleasing.
Indeed. Aubameyang got the goal. Bayern second in the league after 11 matches. What the hell is Ancelotti playing?
It's good. A bit of competition in the Bundesliga.
Shouldn't he have wrapped it up by now?
Well, you'd think. Yeah, maybe he's just trying to make it, you know, competitive.
Maybe
they're
all
on the Ronaldinho diet.
Indeed. Oh man. The reason why they're second is because Red Bull Leipzig are top. Set a new record, becoming the first promoted side to go unbeaten in the first 11 league matches.
Amazing.
Of the season.
Leicester.
Yeah, imagine if they did that.
To Leicester.
This became normal.
Indeed. And Newcastle then did it the following season.
I do think that you were talking about the players that have, just made their impact as substitutes, or they've scored on their debut, the lad for Spurs and stuff. I do sort of think that unknown quantities are the most powerful force in football. Look at Vardy last season compared to this season.
But that used to be.
Look at Grant Holt a few seasons ago.
Ricky Lambert.
Look at Ricky Lambert.
I'm not sure your examples are holding your example up that well.
Yeah.
Grant Holt.
Yeah.
He's the one I remember sort of doing very well the first season, then not doing quite so well after that.
So do Barcelona have some sort of Men in Black mind erasing thing?
But we do.
When they seem Lionel Messi, they go, dum, there you go. Who's this guy up front?
But we tell ourselves, every single time we sort of go, oh, you know, this is professional football, we should know about these players, but they clearly don't.
Yeah, but that's one of the things years and years ago about international football and also European Cups or even early days of the Champions League, because you didn't have the resources that you do now. Teams would turn up and they were playing these weird and wonderful styles, which was which people would think, oh, blimey, are they playing three at the back? Mental. You know,
weird and wonderful styles was Callum Stiles' mum and dad.
Superheroes. The World Cup was great for that, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Just discovering new players.
It was. But Leipzig, though, they're very unpopular in Germany, of course.
Well, they're seen as nouveau riche.
Well, right?
They have some money behind them, don't they?
Well, it's because of the money. But Hoffenheim have a lot of money. Now, to be fair, they're not that popular as well. Hoffenheim and Leipzig, the only two unbeaten sides still in the Bundesliga. But Red Bull Leipzig, because they're seen as massively commercial because of the Red Bull connection there, they've got an awful lot of money. They've flown up the leagues in a quick period of time, so they don't have much history. And in Germany, that scene is pretty a little bit bad in England, but more so in Germany. They're a bit more.
I imagine they're really proud of their history, aren't they?
Yeah, come on.
What?
We're talking about football, you monster. but also as well, the fans don't have much of a say in how the club is run. The 50-plus one rule.
Yeah, so that's a big, big thing in Germany.
I think that's the main one.
Okay, so it's dangerous then, in a sense, isn't it? Because it could mean that the Bundesliga goes the way of all the other leagues. And
exactly.
It's really, really well run over there. Mm. Here's a little pub quiz hot shots moment for you.
Okay.
In what year did the Bundesliga come to be, and therefore when did football become professional in Germany?
1946.
Nope.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I bet it was late in the day.
You know what? I bet it was late in the day as well.
I'll go for 1951.
I'm going to go for
19...
Oh, God, you know what? No, because maybe it was separate as well.
Hurry up, mate. Just have a guess.
Sorry. 1963.
Wow. It's only been professional since 1963. They'd won the World Cup before they had an officially professional league.
83 is mad, isn't it? Sorry, everyone. That's proper mad.
63 is crazy.
They were professional when we beat them. Didn't work out for them, did it, Jim? Mm. Who had the last laugh? That is extraordinary.
Yeah, incredible.
Blimey O'Reilly. Well, they certainly took to it, didn't they?
But yeah, they're pretty good at it.
Yeah. Well, they're good before, as you say, they won the World Cup. What else have we got? Oh, yes, it's time for the highlights of the week with Jim Campbell.
Woo! Hey, everybody, I've got some highlights.
Yeah.
We've already done the one about Peterborough, so I'll just ignore that and go straight. That's all right, it was worth it.
Got excited.
Yeah, but it's fair enough. I'll go to Christopher Brace, who says, finally took advantage of the free trial for the audiobook. Loving it. That's how you're going to get on here, Christopher.
I think so.
Yep, so do go and do that. Then there's Mark Ridley. He says simply, Southern League, Histon 4, Fleet 5. Histon ended up with 7 players and Fleet 9 players. Yes! That's what it's about.
Get yourself down the Southern League.
Yeah, get yourself sent off down the Southern League.
Yeah.
This is from Scott Somerville. He says, Ray Wilkins suggesting that England should have taken Andy Carroll to Euro 2016.
What?
He then adds, and John Hartson criticising Oliver Burke for choosing Red Bull Leipzig over Burnley, West Brom or Sunderland.
Top of the Bundesliga.
Come on, John.
Top of the Bundesliga, and probably on good wages because they've got a lot of money behind them.
Yeah, indeed.
When you said John Hartson, I thought you said England should have taken Carroll and John Hartson.
Yeah, 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 John Hartson. I would have had that.
That's a strike force.
Yeah, quite. Yeah.
Hams.
Maybe they could have taken some of Hartson's to repair Carroll's.
Yeah.
That would have worked. Mm. So Dara Whiting says, Tim Sherwood ruining my 10-team Aki I put on before going to the cinema instead of listening to the ramble, # forgot he was at Swindon.
Sorry
about that.
Go on, Jim.
Last one, finally, it's from Kieran. Finding out that the definition of the word literally was changed in a dictionary a few years ago to include used for emphasis while not being literally true, and realising that Jamie Redknapp has been mugging everyone right off.
For recent times, though, surely.
Yeah. No, I think he's...
His literally's only became professional a year ago.
He's probably... probably one of the biggest culprits in making that change happen.
I'd say so.
So
yeah.
The word now also means the opposite of itself in a way.
Well, he's got the Oxford Dictionary's ear, I hear.
I think if you explained that whole literal scenario to Redknapp, he would just stare back at you and go, I literally don't understand.
He wouldn't say anything, and then a trickle of blood would just come out of his ear.
Oh dear, what an image. This is my highlight. In Denmark, the Midtjylland goalkeeper gave away an indirect free kick in his box after catching the ball from his own goal kick.
I saw that, because the wind blew it, didn't it?
He did a goal kick, like full on boot. The wind blew it all the way back to him, and he was a bit like, oh, this is weird. Caught the ball, thinking, I must have another go at this. And the referee's like, you can't do that.
You've got, surely you can.
You can't, that's the rules.
I mean, what I would say, it was such a weird thing. I bet the ref just went, that's got to be wrong. Well, I that's got to be illegal.
To be fair, I haven't checked the rules, but that, I'm going on what the referee has given there.
Did he give the wind a yellow card?
Maybe.
Naughty.
But then blew the card away.
I'll send you off.
Yeah. Unsolicited interference, wind.
But then it does beg the question that if the goalkeeper, and this is a bit more, I suppose, rugby union than football, but if the goalkeeper whacked the ball up the field, took a goal kick or something, no, specifically a goal kick, and then ran after it, as I say, like, you know, in rugby when someone boots the ball up the field and right. they have to be the first one to go and get it, that's the rules in rugby. If the keeper then ran on to the end of his goal kick
and then scored, then
it wouldn't be allowed because... Or maybe it's something to do with the ball. I don't know. Do your own research. I'm happy with what I know.
Wow.
That situation or scenario will never happen.
He's literally dumbstruck.
Indeed. We've got to go.
Guys.
Peter, any highlights?
Well, that was a pretty good one, I think.
You enjoyed reading your own fine chapters in the Football Ramble book, of course, which is available everywhere.
Well, I spoke about Ronaldo, original Ronaldo quite a lot, and the new Ronaldo.
Yeah.
But mainly the original Ronaldo, because he is my favourite footballer,
what
almost.
What about Ronaldo Vieira? For Leeds.
No.
Who couldn't score against Newcastle.
Not him.
Okay. Mm. But yes, of course, as...
Rolando Ahrens, he's injured.
There we are. One very happy and honourable listener said that he downloaded our audiobook from audible.co.uk/footballramble. Mm.
Would he have paid for that, Marcus?
Certainly not, Jim.
No, he wouldn't.
Would he have been then obliged to stick around Audible, even if he didn't want to? He just wanted the Ramble book, and he just wanted to then get out of his signing up process scot-free. I mean, would he have been able to do that?
He would have been able to do that. He would not be obliged to stick around.
It's crime of the century.
My goodness. Get yourselves over there, people.
Yeah.
audible.co.uk/footballramble. Any more?
All good.
Lovely.
All good. Happy.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back at the end of the week for the preview show. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye from me.
Let's have the music then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was saying something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.